Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Eagles just hired a football coach, Joy Taylor.
Is it?
The Colts offensive coordinator, Nick Sirianni.
They did, yes, 1 minute ago.
So this is crazy to me. So you could certainly make the argument the two best candidates were Brian Daboll and Eric Bieniemy, and neither is getting a job. I thought Daboll, what he did with Josh Allen, which we talked about it the whole damn year.
Well, I think part of the reason that they're the best candidates is that they're also very choosy with where they're going to spend the next phase of their career.
This is very good. I could do 10 minutes on this topic. I might. This has always been the craziest thing to me. You make a really good point. No is a very powerful word. And it always gives you, in my career, saying no to something, I always get more money or more opportunities the more I say no. Be picky.
Yes.
Now, when you're 20 years old, you need the income. You just take jobs. So if you're 23 years old and doing what I'm doing, say yes all the time. But then as you get older, 30, 40, 50, use the word no. It's very powerful. So I was talking to Jason Garrett, the Cowboy coach, this weekend. He called me and we sat... And we had a really nice conversation. And he was a coach, and then he becomes a coordinator. And my takeaway is, if you look at the environment of the NFL, there's going to be 7 job openings next year. And the truth is, this is what I kept thinking when I hung out with Jason Garrett. Don't rush. Because obviously, he made Daniel Jones a better quarterback he only had 1 interception in the last 6 games. So clearly, I thought Daniel Jones was coached up. He was a turnover mess until about December, and then he really cut down on turnovers. They have limitations offensively, didn't win a lot of games. He also won against Seattle and Colt McCoy. But I was thinking about this as I hung out with Jason Garrett, and maybe I just told you, I talked to the former Cowboy coach at length. The point being, when I hung out with him, I thought to myself, Jason, don't be in a rush. Because what's happening in the NFL, I mean, good God, Jalen Hurts now. You're like, oh, you got to play Jalen Hurts. I mean, a year ago, I was like, he's more of a runner than a thrower. Then you watch him beat the Saints, and you're like, all these guys are working. We're getting this massive influx of quarterbacks. And every year, it's like 4 teams solve their problem. So if you just wait another year, 4 more bad franchises solve the quarterback problem. And you can look and go, oh, Herbert's way better than I thought. Oh, Burrow's really good. Oh, this kid, not so much. So for you coaches, and obviously Jason Garrett's made a lot of money. No state tax, Dallas, $7, $8 million a year. He's fine. He can afford more than I ate in college, right? Like, this is real grown-up eating. Don't be in a hurry. Coaches struggle to say no to stuff. If you're Brian Daboll and you coach the Buffalo Bills, how many jobs are – that's the best coordinator job maybe in football in America. I get Josh Allen – Sean McDermott's a defensive coach, Joy, so he's not in my meeting room all the time. I mean, Eric Bieniemy may have Andy Reid right behind him going, Eric, move that slot receiver. Literally, McDermott's like, you do the offense. Like, so these coaches just struggle. They've always struggled saying, you know, no. And once you've made a little money, you got your mortgage payment under control, just say no. I told Mike Dunleavy this years ago, he'd coached the Blazers. Remember, they went against Shaq and Kobe, and they took him to a Game 7. He had Rasheed Wallace, very good team. And he got fired. And I remember thinking, take 2 years off. You made a ton of money. He rushed back in and took the Clippers job, Donald Sterling. And I'm like, "That you could do better than that." At the time, they were the Pits. And I'm like, no. But he was a friend. I didn't, you know, it's not none of my business what people do. But I think coaches really struggle. There's that insecurity that I got to get a job. No, you don't. No, you don't. If you're a great coordinator like Eric Bieniemy, to your point, and Brian Daboll, be patient. Because four more quarterbacks are going to – Zach Wilson's coming in. Lawrence is coming in. Justin Fields is coming in. Max coming in. Sit and watch him for a year and go, he's good, he's really good, he's okay, he's no good. So then you, when you do take, you've got your young quarterback and you know, good or not good. I mean, he's not – Jason Garrett played in the league. He can more than a lot of coaches say, that works, that doesn't, I can help that, I can't help that. Anyway, there's my rant on your point of being – Bieniemy and Daboll have – you can work your entire career and never have a job as good as Eric Bieniemy. Andy Reid's offensive coordinator.
Well, they have aspirations of taking the next step, which as they should, but – there is a trade-off to quality of life. There's a reason why this position is open.
Think about this. So Matt Nagy's first opportunity, he takes the Bears job, but he gets Mitch Trubisky. If he waits, I don't have it in front of me. If he waits one more year, there's seven more openings, and he probably gets a better quarterback. Because let's be honest, just because you get one job, you get fired, doesn't mean you get a second job. Some do, most don't.
But you also have to consider who is your GM. Who is your owner? You look at the Philadelphia situation, you're not going to have a lot of say there.
How many of the jobs that are open right now are good jobs? Chargers, I get Justin Herbert, super smart GM.
Great job.
Chargers is a, well, it's a great opportunity.
Well, because you have to look at why is this position open, right? Philadelphia, the position is open because Philadelphia is incredibly impatient for no reason at all.
I don't think Philadelphia is a good job.
I don't either. The reason the Chargers position is open is because they expected a higher ceiling. Like they were winning, but not enough. They were good, but not good enough.
Right.
That's a better job. That's why the Packers job was so good. You have Aaron Rodgers. You're not doing enough with Aaron Rodgers. Not that they were a bad franchise. Not that they were losing or dysfunctional.
Just go higher.
You have to go higher.
I mean, Anthony Lynn had like a 5-11 season. They brought him back. I mean, so it's like the Chargers are patient. They have the great quarterback, and they have a non-meddling owner. Philadelphia's got, according to reports, a meddling owner.
A quarterback situation.
An unbelievably loud and demanding media. I mean, let's be honest about it. The Chargers, pretty quiet here in Los Angeles. Not a lot of talk.
It's a different lifestyle.
By the way, Eagles are hiring Colts offensive coordinator Nick Sirianni, head coach. He's 39 years old. I would have said for most of the last 10 years it's a great job, and I don't think Philadelphia today, I think it's just it's been a tire fire the last 2 years.
I think it's a very difficult place to win, and especially when you look at that division, which is going to be a lot better than it was this year.
By the way. So the Texans are the only team.
Yep.
They have the best quarterback, and they don't have a coach. What does that tell you? That tells you that, like, people with options are not interested. If at this point, so let's just think to ourselves. So Eric Bieniemy or Brian Daboll has already said, I'm going back to Buffalo.
Yeah, he's not leaving.
So Daboll probably wanted Joey. He wanted the Chargers job, did not get it, and he said, no. And he's right. Buffalo's better. Be the number two. So Bieniemy, if he was offered the Houston job, now you would think, oh, he gets Deshaun Watson. But if this thing's the Colt it looks like, just think a year or two from now, what jobs will be open? There's some really interesting jobs out there that could be. But remember, Detroit's a bad job. Don't worry about that. Historically, Washington's tough. It's taken care of. Philadelphia's got issues. It's taken care of. Stefanski. Who's on the hot seat in 1 year in the NFL, Goulet? Who? Give me a coach that what in 1 year from now?
Maybe
Matt Nagy, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Maybe Minnesota.
Okay, there you go. Bieniemy doesn't take the job. So Daboll has said, "I didn't get the Charger job. I'm not."
How patient is Denver going to be? Arizona.
Okay, there you go again. Eric Bieniemy, if he doesn't get the job, I wouldn't take Houston. I'm telling you, you cannot overcome dysfunction at the top. But in 1 year, Bieniemy could have. Denver's got a lot of good players. What was the other one? Oh, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
How about the Bengals? If Zach Joe Burrow doesn't work out, you get young Joe Burrow.
So everybody always freaks out because, well, Eric Bieniemy. Listen, Daboll and Bieniemy are the two best. To me, the two best choices.
Yes.
Neither
took
got
jobs.
It. And I think to your point, they were like, this is a pretty good job I got.
Well, you have a great job. They both have great jobs, and they don't want to mortgage their next step of their career by going to a dysfunctional organization, which could then derail the rest of their career.
By the way, Chicago, So they signed those guys to that. They just didn't give them an extension, but they're bringing them back. Isn't that?
Yes.
I get that defense. If in 1 year, if Bieniemy interviewed for that, I get that defense. That's pretty interesting. I don't know. I just kind of rambled there. That's what. So Eagles have a coach, Nick Sirianni, 39 years old, quarterback controversy, not going to get much of a say in personnel. Owner's got a strong opinion. I'm not sure if that's a great job anymore. I don't think it is.
I don't think it is. And if you look at the division, Dak's coming back. Washington's going to get a quarterback. The Giants are going to get better. They're getting Saquon back. It's not the same division as it was this year.
Greg Jennings around the corner. Fascinating.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Terry Bradshaw is upping the Super 6 stakes yet again for the NFC Championship. Last weekend, he gave away his beloved all-new 2021 Ford F-150 to lucky winner Terry from Maryland. This weekend, he's giving away his other all-new 2021 Ford F-150 as a guaranteed prize and $500,000 of his own money. Download the Fox Super 6 app and make your picks for your shot to win. All you need to do is pick six outcomes for the NFC Championship game. It's completely free to play. Colin, one of the questions is, which team will have the most receiving yards and by how many? What do you think?
All weekend?
No, for the NFC Championship game.
Tampa.
Tampa more receiving yards?
Yeah, I think they have a much deeper receiving core. Doesn't mean they'll win, though. I mean, they won last weekend and didn't have a very productive, you know, yards per receiver. Well, it's strangest year. I swear to God, this coaching year has been crazy. Dan Campbell got a job. Regrettable press conference. That would have been, I would not have hired Dan Campbell in Detroit. Robert Saleh doesn't feel like a Jets coach to me. Jets don't fit. I just doesn't work. I don't know. He could work. I'm not saying he won't work. The Jets is a weird fit to me. The two best candidates, Eric Bieniemy and Brian Daboll, if you look at resumes, didn't take a job. Brandon Staley came out of nowhere to get the Chargers job. Weird. And the Texans don't have one. It's a weird coaching year. I don't like a lot of these. I'll just be honest with you. I don't love a lot of these choices. I don't know. I don't love them. It's not a very good. By the way, this Nick Sirianni got a job for the Eagles, and this is no shot at the guy. But does he call plays for them? Secondly, he feels like somebody that is going to get no say. He was not a top candidate.
I don't think anybody's going to get a say there, and that's
what I'm saying.
Why no one took it.
That's why Josh McDaniels didn't take it. If I'm Eric Bieniemy, I don't take that job. If I'm Brian Daboll, I don't take that Philadelphia job. If I'm Bieniemy, I want some say in personnel, maybe. Same with Daboll.
Well, at least you have to, at the very least, be on the same page with your
GM. This has not been a year. I thought, I do think Arthur Smith to Atlanta, you can make an argument for it. I think it's a decent job. I get Matt Ryan and a good owner. And Arthur Smith has done an amazing job with Ryan Tannehill. He's a Southern guy. And Matt deserves an offensive coach. He's had a lot of defensive coaches. I think that hire, I think we predicted it on the air.
Yeah.
That one feels pretty, I get the dots that connect up with
it
that
one. It wasn't surprising that happened.
But I don't like the hires this year. I don't. I think the two best candidates didn't get the job. And why isn't Jason Garrett, this idea that Jason Garrett failed in Dallas, he won 58% of his games putting out fires.
I actually thought that Jason Garrett would have been a great candidate for the Lions job because they need
a grown-up.
Yes, and some stability and a culture builder and all of that. Or the Jets job. You can't say that Jason Garrett can't handle the media. He was a Dallas Cowboys head coach.
Hey, I'll tell you something. Urban Meyer more and more looks like the best hire.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. Urban to me in Jacksonville is like, oh, that's going to work to some degree, especially the first three drafts, Joy. He's going to crush. He's recruited 90% of the guys he's going to draft.
It's definitely the number one move so far.
I think so. I think Urban, and that's the one the media doesn't buy, and I'm like, that one's going to work. I get Trevor Lawrence and like a better coach in college than Pete Carroll.
It's a winnable division.
Oh, yeah, that's hugely. Greg Jennings, 10 years in the NFL, a Super Bowl. He's been in a lot of these big playoff games in Lambeau where it's all cold and a warm weather team comes up to Lambeau, and he is joining us now live. So did you ever, you tell me, when you're a wide receiver, did you like the snow because you knew where you were going and corners don't? Did you feel it was a little bit, you can put the brakes on? Did you feel like snow was an advantage for you as an offensive player?
It's an advantage, but no, I didn't like it. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I wanted it to be clear on the ground, so I had my footing, and I wanted to be able to run the routes at the speed and at the pace and the tempo that I wanted to. And snow prohibits you from doing that. You have to be under control at all times. And I'm not saying that it wasn't an advantage, because it was, but it's not as great an advantage as one would think, especially with good corners that understand how to play concepts and can play with vision. So, I mean, it's an advantage, but it's not an extreme advantage for anyone out there.
Now, I think Tom Brady, Greg, is about the best cold weather thrower I've seen. Part of that is Tom's torque at the hip. His ball is like a slider. I always thought one of the best games Tom ever played was in Chicago years ago in a lousy weather game. And I remember remarking on the air, I'm like, I've never seen a guy throw a tighter spiral in bad weather. You tell me, Aaron's a California guy. Did he grumble about bad weather? Did he throw the same ball in bad weather? Did it affect Aaron's performance?
Never. Never. I never saw it affect Aaron's performance. I never saw him or heard him mentally even give into it. You know, later on in Brett's career, you started hearing him kind of complain about the cold. And you've even heard Tom Brady allude to never living in the, you know, Northeast any longer and in the cold climates. But when you talk to Tom Brady, he has such a supreme elite mental capacity and mental perspective to where he knows it's 3 hours. All I got is 3 hours. And so he finds a way to get it done out of most quarterbacks, where I think the cold weather impacts the quarterback the most. But then your quarterback is Tom Brady. And it probably, if it were to not impact any quarterback, it would be Tom Brady. But Aaron Rodgers has always been great in cold weather. He throws a tight spiral. He has huge hands. I think his hands go underrated. And you don't see him with any gloves. You see him very comfortable out there with the ball, holding it the same way he would is even if it were warmer climates. That's something he's really taken pride in, practicing outside, throwing in those conditions, understanding how to throw the ball, what the ball is going to do. He's definitely got the art down.
You know, I was saying this, getting to Super Bowls is so much about your path. And this is not a shot at Tom, but it did help. He never faced Pro Bowl quarterbacks in his division. So he got a bye. He had to win one home game off a bye, and then he was in the conference championship. And it matters. Whereas Mahomes is going to have to face Justin Herbert and Derek Carr for the next several years. Those are good players. And, you know, I said this morning with Aaron Rodgers, whereas Mahomes and Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and all the Justin Herbert, it's all AFC. If you go look at Aaron Rodgers for the next 6 years, Breeze is retired, will be, and Brady probably does in a year or two. He's only got one peer in the NFC, Russell Wilson, who's got an enigmatic relationship with his head coach. I honestly think the next 6 years for Aaron, Greg, I think his path, I mean, look at his own division. Those teams don't want, those quarterbacks won't be there. I think Aaron's last 6 years are going to be his best six. I really strongly believe that. Do you share that sentiment?
I wouldn't say his path is so easy. And when we look at Tom Brady, obviously, I've told this to Tom, even this year, he has the LeBron James effect. So wherever he goes, it's going to be, the expectation is going to be win or bust. And so, yes, it was just like LeBron in the East. The path was so easy. Oh, my gosh, he's in the East. He goes to the West, and now he's the champion in the West. And now it's like everybody's flooding back to the East. This is kind of the Tom Brady effect, honestly. The same thing that LeBron has done. But Aaron Rodgers, to me, his path is always a challenge because the coaching and the defenses on that side, in that conference, in my opinion, tend to be more stout. When you look at the Vikings, you never quite know. When you look at the Bears, they just miss that quarterback piece. And if they can get those pieces, defensively, they can cause problems. The Panthers, the Buccaneers, the New Orleans Saints, like these are really good defensive teams. The Washington Redskins, the Giants. And so it's just that piece at the helm under center that changes the game. And that's why Aaron Rodgers' path to you probably is a lot smoother. But to him, I guarantee you, he sees those defenses and they're like, geez.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to throw this at you. We've been arguing about this all day. This is my, and Joy is going to join me now. So Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Hall of Fame talk, right? I'm listening to it all day on the radio yesterday, doing errands and stuff. And I said, I can say a guy should be in or not on the radio show. And this is just talking. But if I was a voter, I am now voting on a man's legacy. He is a husband. He's a father. It's his business. It's his career. My standard is going to be very serious. I'm going to spend hours thinking, is Greg Jennings a Hall of Famer? Is so-and-so? So my standard for this show is talk about it, have an opinion, be entertaining. But if I was a voter, I would have to create a standard. So if a player like you came to me and said, well, it affected my life. Why didn't you let me in? I could say, well, Greg, here is my standard. So I'm going to throw this at you. Here's my standard in the NFL for a Hall of Fame. Top five at your position for two contracts, 8 years. Is that too? Okay, now, Terrell Davis doesn't get in. Kurt Warner doesn't get in.
Correct.
Right.
There's a lot of guys that are off of that.
Okay.
List that remove that jacket off
now,
the back.
Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, don't get in. So you tell me.
Correct.
Now, Joy thinks, Joy's argument is interesting. Joy has a theory on, give me your little theory on this.
My little theory is that while I see your points, can you tell the history of the NFL's greatest moments in time without their careers?
And Eli Manning
and
Eli is her
Manning,
example.
You cannot. You cannot tell Tom Brady's story without him losing to Eli Manning twice in the Super Bowl.
So whose standard do you like better?
to be honest, Joy, that is impressive. I really like that, the thought. The only problem that I have with yours, Joy, is there are some players that you can kind of tell the history because they've had those moments.
Yeah.
Like Julian Edelman, his moments have been all in crucial times, which are the playoffs. But if you look at his totality of his body of work, no.
Well, yeah, I think it should be a combination of the two. So it's a little bit of what Colin is, maybe not the
yes.
hard line of Colin's, but somewhere in the middle of the two.
Correct. And then Colin, yours is just, it's top two or top five for two contracts. That's tough. That's because they're, I mean, that is elite.
Well, wait. You don't let some goofball into
I get it. I get it. I totally understand.
By the way, for instance, Greg Jennings is a bodybuilder. He's like a nationally level bodybuilder. They don't let me go to your competition because I'm eating biscuits and gravy and half and half all day. So if I show up to your weightlifting thing, they'd go, hey, who's the lumpy guy with pudding?
Well, I mean, I don't think that Eli Manning and Philip Rivers are lumpy guy with pudding.
Well, Philip Rivers is pretty lumpy.
Okay.
My point is the standard Hall of Fames, Greg, are not about the top. They're about the bottom. If you let an average receiver in, it invalidates the Hall of Fame.
I agree. I totally agree. So are you saying that Philip Rivers is not a Hall of Famer?
That's right. What do you think? You tell me.
I've struggled with this one, to be honest. I've struggled with Philip Rivers because his numbers say he's Hall of Famer. But when you look at what Joy is talking about.
He has no moments.
The impact of the league, you can tell the entire story without Philip Rivers. And I think that is where the Terrell Owens and the Randy Mosses and the Joe Montanas and the Steve, they have so many moments, regular season and in the most important time of the year, which is the playoffs and Super Bowls, obviously. I think you got to have a combination of both.
All right.
I don't think Super Bowls have to be
Thank
a
you.
Criteria. I don't think Super Bowl has to be a criteria.
Totally agree.
But you got to have moments when the lights are the brightest.
Yeah. Do you rise in the biggest moments?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny, but Rod Carew's the best hitter I ever saw in baseball. He played, I think, 12 years for the Twins, 7 years for the Angels. He almost batted 400 one year, 325. I was a Mariner fan as a kid. We couldn't get him out. For 20 years, we couldn't get him out. But he never got to a World Series. Mike Trout can't win a playoff game. So it's like,
yeah.
In baseball, there is something about the season is so long that if you post these numbers, but in the NFL, it does feel like, you know, the more I think about it, boy, Eli's a tough one. The stats are not there.
Eli's a tough one because the stats, although the stats aren't there to where it's up with the elite and up with the top, his moments
are great.
Are much better, and you can think of him before you think of some of those guys that are in there because of those moments.
Oh God, yeah, like
so that propels him. Because he had some of his best performances in the brightest of lights, in the hottest of flames.
Yep.
And he came through for his team against the best, literally arguably one of the best teams to ever be assembled and to go through the regular season. I know, Joy, I know the Dolphins, but they work that New England team that they beat was arguably – they were one of the best teams to ever play in the regular season, obviously. Yeah. And they beat that team. And so you look at Eli Manning, and he was a huge part and a huge reason why.
Yeah, and it was two throws, one to David Tyree, one to Mario Manningham. No, I mean, his moments are better than Marino's. Eli's moments are better than Marino. Marino's the better player. But in terms of moments, God, that win in Green Bay with Plexico Burress. I mean, he had two road playoff runs. All right, we got to get out of here. This Hall of Fame stuff gets me all worked up. Greg Jennings, but I can't show up to one of his weight – body sculpting things.
You could.
Well, yeah, and you'd be could. Like...
You wouldn't win. You wouldn't win, but...
I'm living on, like, Kit Kat bars and, you know, almonds, and Guinness. You don't do well. All right. Greg Jennings, good talking to you, buddy.
Absolutely.
Exhausting myself. Hey, I'm way back on these. Cremo barber-grade products soothe and relieve that beardage. This stuff's really good. Comes in cedar forest, mint, cooling, and more. Available at Amazon, retailers, CremoCompany.com. C-R-E-M-O. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Quite a bit of breaking news today.
What?
So, former first-round Dwayne Haskins was cut by Washington in December, and now he has his next opportunity in the league.
I like this one.
The Steelers have reportedly met with Haskins today and have signed him to a one-year contract.
Stability, good O-line, excellent wide receivers, protege for 1 year.
I like it for 1 year. I still wish that the Steelers would actually invest in a for sure quarterback or at least someone who hasn't just exited their prior job the way that Haskins did for their future, especially in this division, especially the way that Ben looked. But look, I'm not unhappy he's getting another opportunity. Of course he was going to get another opportunity, he should. He's a young guy. He made a poor decision. He's going to get another chance. I just, I guess we'll wait and see for a year.
Listen,
he's better than Mason Rudolph.
Oh, well, I mean, listen, Dwayne Haskins is a big kid who throws a beautiful ball. First of all, he only started in college for a year. Like, that kid needs a year in a good culture to watch football. Let's just give this kid a reboot. I think he's worth a contract.
I think he is too. I think he is too. He has his 1-5 record as a starter. He's had 61.4 completion percentage, a little over 1,400 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. The decision making isn't all the way there. There's better weapons, obviously, in Pittsburgh.
The Steelers also
interviewed former Browns head coach Hugh Jackson earlier this week for the offensive coordinator position as well. So a lot of changes in Pittsburgh. Okay. We'll see how that goes. In the division, Lamar Jackson is now eligible for a new contract. In Baltimore. He's proven he's obviously their quarterback of the future, and John Harbaugh is very confident he will get the deal done.
Of course, absolutely, we want, you know, Lamar to sign a long-term deal and be with us, and that's I'm totally certain that that's going to happen. You know, when it happens, that's the details, you know, and that's what we got to figure out. That'll happen either this year or next year, I'm sure.
Quite a contrast to Andrew Barry's comments
about
Cleveland about Baker.
It's interesting. It isn't. He's all in. We're signing him.
The exact opposite, in fact. Jackson's set to make $1.8 million in 2021, which will count $3 million against the cap. I mean, look, we all knew that Lamar Jackson was the quarterback of the future and he's going to get a deal done eventually, of course. But this is kind of interesting when you look at this situation and you compare it to the situation in Cleveland with Baker. I mean, everyone obviously feels that Lamar is the more talented quarterback, but...
Yeah, that's not even... Yeah, I mean, Lamar does something that nobody in the world can do. He's the fastest human to ever play the position.
That division is...
Boy, it's a load. I mean, seriously.
Wild. And it's going to be better next year when Joe Burrow comes back.
And also, Cincinnati's got good picks.
Yeah.
So they're going to be at the top of the first round, top of the second.
Well, their priority is to build the offensive line, which it should be.
Yeah.
So Kyrie Irving made his return to the Nets last night to play with both James Harden and Kevin Durant for the first time. The end result was not what Brooklyn was looking for. Great game, though. Nets lost to the Cavs 147-135 in double overtime, despite their three stars combining for 96 points in the game. This game kind of described exactly what everyone has been saying about Brooklyn. We know they're not going to have a problem scoring, but where is the defense? Colin Sexton was out of his mind, 42 points, including 15 in the second overtime. Kind of interesting about last night's game, though. Steve Nash made his last substitution for the Nets with 8 minutes, 45 seconds remaining in the fourth quarter when the Nets were down 96-85. Durant came in for Reggie Perry. So that combination of Kevin Durant, Kyrie, James Harden, Jeff Green, and Joe Harris played the final 18 minutes, 45 seconds of the game with no substitutions.
That's a load.
It's a very strange coaching decision there. That's a lot of minutes. Now, maybe he's just like, we're just going to work out whatever we have going on, and it's better to just like let them play the whole game
by the way, and
get some chemistry going. But
Nash also got heat because he didn't foul Sexton and sent him to the line, and he hit a three, and you want to foul him, get him to the line to hit two. He was getting ripped on Twitter last night.
I wasn't so sure about that call being reversed. Kyrie Irving and Sexton also, but I just thought that's.
Listen, if you're a Cavs fan, Sexton can score. Like, the Cavs need to hit on draft picks. The bottom line is Sexton last night looked like a star.
He looks great. I mean, listen, the Nets need more defense.
That's indisputable.
That's the story of that game.
Yeah, I mean, Durant plays, competes at the defensive level. Kyrie does not. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Our staff works so hard. They do these movie posters, and we were talking about the best matchups for the weekend, what they could turn out to be. And they look like movie posters of very popular movies. Our staff does a very good job on this. Our team. We'll have that in Best for Last. I think you'll like it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned coffee company serving premium roast to people who love America. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. The code gets you 20% off your first coffee club order. Have a cup every morning driving to work. So the the NFL Conference Championship games are this weekend. And so we thought, you know, when you get to these big games, you know, networks always try to have like a theme or your branding, just like if it was on the History Channel or, you know, any channel, Hulu, Netflix, Fox, big shows, you have themes and titles. And we thought, let's do the movie poster thing. We do this about once a year. Any music for movie posters, John? John looks at me. What's movie poster music? That's your job, John. Okay, so the NFC Championship on Fox, Bucks and Packers. You, of course, know of Grumpy Old Men. Remember that, Walter Matthau?
Yes.
This would be not Grumpy Old Men. They're actually very happy because the Packers and Bucks are top two in scoring, including the playoffs. No reason to be in a bad mood. Aaron has never been this glib in his career. He can't stop talking.
He is very happy.
AFC Championship. You've heard of the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Absolutely.
How about Bill's and Big Red's Excellent Adventure?
Love
Allen
that.
And Mahomes are the top two players in passing yards, touchdown passes in the AFC this year. They have the two longest active winning streaks in the NFL. Chiefs are the first team to host the AFC Championship in three straight seasons.
It's great work.
How about Super Bowl potential matchups? What if it was the Bucks and Chiefs? You, of course, know about Mission Impossible. This would be called Mission Tom Possible. Brady is 20-4 at home in the postseason. He has more playoff wins than any other quarterback has total postseason wins.
Well, so then you'd also be predicting Brady wins that because somehow Tom Cruise always saves the world.
Still contend the last Mission Impossible was the second best movie I've ever seen. God, I loved it. And it was the best Mission Impossible by far.
It was very good.
Usually it goes backwards. The longer it goes, the crappier the movie gets. What if it was Brady, Bucks, and the Bills? You, of course, know Lord of the Rings, Return to the King. This would be the Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. Do you know Brady has more Super Bowl rings, 6, than Josh Allen has career playoff starts, 3? Look at that. I wouldn't be surprised if Brady's hair doesn't look like that in a couple of years. Okay, now, let's go. What if we get Bills-Packers?
Okay.
A couple of gunslingers back there. You've heard of Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
One of my favorite movies ever. The late Robin Williams, Matt Damon. Kind of made Matt Damon a star, right? This would be Good Bill Hunting for a Super Bowl win. Bills looking for their first in franchise history. They've won 7 of their last 8 games by double digits. Unbelievable fan base. They had Jim Kelly and Marv Levy for years. It took them a long time to get here, but now they've got Sean McDermott, Josh Allen. Next 10 years for Buffalo, they'll be jumping on tables for a long time. And finally, how about that? This one feels like joy. This is the home run. Packers Chiefs.
Yes.
You've heard of Back to the Future?
Yes.
Pack to the future. If Rodgers wins the Super Bowl, he will tie Tom Brady, the longest drought between Super Bowl wins in NFL history, with 9. If I had to rank, let's rank them.
The Super Bowl options?
Yeah, so
Packers Chiefs 1.
And we both agree with that.
Yeah.
2 would be Mahomes, Kansas City versus Brady.
Yes.
3 is Green Bay, Buffalo. Small market, cold weather, maybe.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Brady be 3rd? Brady versus Buffalo? Wouldn't that be a bigger storyline?
I'd kind of like to see the two. Maybe you're right. Probably get a bigger rating.
Be a home team in a Super Bowl for the first
time.
Boy,
it's man, when you talk Green Bay, Buffalo, two smallest markets. Or would it be, well, no, you're right. It would be, because Brady's just a bigger story. So that would be Buffalo.
So Green Bay, Buffalo is 4?
If that's 4, holy crow, that's pretty good. So that would be.
So Chiefs, Packers 1, Chiefs, Bucks 2.
Buffalo, Tampa 3, and Green Bay, Buffalo 4. That's the best 4th option.
Yeah.
The scary thing is, Colin, we never seem to get the number 1 option each year. It's always close. But last year we wanted Rodgers versus Mahomes.
So, okay,
we didn't get
it. To your theory, we never get. So we're going to get close to it. So what you're telling me is we're going to get Mahomes against Brady. I cannot see.
It's not a bad consolation prize.
In conclusion, we can't lose.
That would be great.
Yes.
But it is. I would contend this. Green Bay is the only team left I don't see a hole.
Yeah.
I don't like Kansas City's run defense. Buffalo has no run offense. And I just, Tampa is, Bruce Arians can be a little loose. Their special teams worry me. Green Bay feels totally buttoned up. Really buttoned up as a franchise right now. They got everything. They got the coach. Their O-line's great.
Well, also, we don't know. I mean, I think he will be playing, but we don't know the status with Mahomes yet. And even if he does play, you still have that toe issue.
Yes.
I don't think it'll affect him too much.
I'm
going to
go out and strongly say Mahomes will play.
Yeah,
I'm going to come out much more tenuous on Antonio Brown. He's
day-to-day, yeah.
He's day-to-day. Mahomes will play. I'm not going to give away any secrets, but I was told by somebody I trust the story that Mahomes will play. They're just, they
well, it just wasn't a Well, we don't know, obviously. I'm not.
But it didn't appear to be a concussion.
It didn't appear to be a concussion.
It appeared to be choked out, stood up too fast, which, by the way, I've done, and you lose your... That's how
someone choked you out?
No, well, many have wanted to, including Ann. I have
a
scar on my forehead. I passed out. But by the way, no alcohol, nothing. I'm not going to get into particulars. It was an embarrassing story, but let me tell you something.
It healed nicely, though.
Well, mostly, yeah.
I mean, you can't see it.
Yeah. Well, you can if you're close. And let's not get into that. Yeah. It was a long fall. You know, you'd think the way Goulet's lifestyle, he would have fallen on his head 15 times. I'm conservative. I go to bed at 8:30. I use coasters under my drinks.
You do.
I'm falling on my head at 3 in the morning.
I think you're secretly a rager, Colin.
You have all kinds of injuries.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, you do.
I do. I got tendonitis, bad left shoulder, cracked a rib, banging on my head, passing out in the middle of the night in the bathroom.
You're doing too much.
It's incredible. Physical therapy today. And Goulet, you know, Spicoli with a beard. He's living out there in the surf. Not a hiccup. His life has been nothing but a... He'd never broken one thing in his life except promises. All right. Casper mattresses, 1,500 perforations, a great cooling system, so effective you won't be awake to notice. We'll see you tomorrow.